Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Lewis Fine from Walden Bromley Media. And as always, we have a great show for you today. The theme of today's program is one of business books. More specifically, business books versus comic books. Which ones are more valuable for your time and more edifying with regard to the lessons that are emphasized, the themes that are highlighted, and the stories that are told? I happen to be of very strong opinion that most business books are not very good. They're not very good with regard to content. They're not very practical with regard to the projected goals and outcomes. And they're not very professional with regard to the ethics of the individual author or authors. Now, if you do a cursory search on Amazon.com under the book section, and you just put in the two words business books, I happen to be looking at right now one of 12 results out of 2,202,437 books. The first one that appears bears the title and I think speaks to the entirety of this phenomenon, which is a problem, a challenge, hardly a solution, hardly a way forward for executives and entrepreneurs interested in the genuine lessons and principles of successful leadership. The first book by John C. Maxwell bears the title, How Successful People Think, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. That title alone indicates that this book purportedly can show you, the author will teach you how successful people think. Now, a few things. How the author defines the word successful is debatable. I presume that because this is a business book and because of the frequent use of the word successful or variation thereof, he means to say success can be measured in sales and profits, in revenues and employees and customers. Well, if that is the totality of success and we are to learn and adopt the principles responsible for successful thinking, which translates into successful business leadership, my response is very simple. No thanks. Human nature is both too complex and too predictable in a bad way. That is, we are both prisoners and wardens of our minds, and we have yet to transcend those sins, major and minor, that handicap us, which include but are not limited to greed, envy, pride, impatience, the search for shortcuts, and the belief in secrets, almost mystical totems and signposts that will grant you entree to instant success, when in fact the only proven path, based on history, based on patterns, and based on human nature, requires discipline, resolution, and the belief that whatever obstacles you confront and whatever unexpected events may arise are all part of a broader environment that characterizes the business arena. So to the extent that these things are predictable, yes, you will have some challenges with raising money. Yes, you will have challenges initially establishing name recognition and building a relationship with customers. Yes, you will have challenges with regard to budgets. Yes, you will have challenges with regard to recruiting the best talent because you may not necessarily have a treasury of dollars to reward these executives, but instead stock options or equity within your company. But recipes are for baking and cooking. They are not for business, because if we can reduce the entrepreneurial mind, or in the case of the second search result from Amazon, which bears the title The Entrepreneur Mind, 100 Essential Beliefs, Characteristics, and Habits of Elite Entrepreneurs. Understand, too, that I don't know the authors of these books. I have not read these books, but I know, by way of having sampled too many of these books, that these books themselves offer recipes. They offer formulas. And if business success was nothing more than the equivalent of following a recipe, every company would be a success. Every entrepreneur would be successful. Every marketplace would be filled only with winners. There would be no bankruptcies. There would be no bankruptcy attorneys. There would be no accountants, forensic or otherwise, consulting executives or boards of directors about the subsequent or soon-to-be demise of a company because of its failure to penetrate the marketplace. And as I scroll further, I see the personal MBA, Master the Art of Business. Next, Work Smarter, Not Harder, 18 productivity tips that boost your workday performance. So we've gone from 100 to 18. And as I scroll further, and I'm doing this in real time with you, I then see, well, Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Powerful Lessons in Personal Change, followed by How to Win Friends and Influence People. Let me stop for a moment and focus on that title, because it is a bestseller. It has been in circulation, or never out of print to my knowledge, since it first became commercially available. There's a moral dilemma here, and it describes the problems, in my opinion, that plague all business books. I won't address, for example, the stylistic problems with regard to the mediocrity of prose, the cliches, the trite anecdotes, all those things that, when put together, may constitute a book in the strictest definition of the word, but are in no way worth reading. Let us parse the language of this title, How to Win Friends. One does not win friends. One has friends. One makes friends. One does not acquire friends in a contest where there are winners and losers, as if the number of friends one person has determines whether that individual is victorious versus someone else. You do not win friends, and if you seek to win them, you will only lose your integrity, you will sacrifice your ethics, and you will forfeit your credibility, because a friend is someone you can rely on, someone you can entrust, someone you can confide in, someone you can call upon in times of need, and someone you will help in turn, for whom you will reciprocate. And that is a bond based on a courtship. It's not a romantic courtship, but it is a courtship based upon exposure to one another, doing things, learning from each other. And you don't arrive at a moment in which you formally announce to yourself and the world. There is no press release that people will read. There is no announcement that you shall issue or should issue in which you say, I am now friends officially with Jeff and Susan and Thomas and Adam and Frank and Joseph and Josephine, Dale and Diana, Eric and Erica. No, you don't win friends. And if you take that approach, you're not someone I want to be friends with. How you influence people is a different story. And that involves storytelling. That involves persuasion. That involves a narrative, constructing sentences, building paragraphs, moving people by the force not only of the story, the substance, the plot, but the style, the manner in which you tell the story, based in part on the mannerisms with which you tell the story, the physicality by which you raise your voice and then lower it to a whisper, the way you gesticulate, the movement of your hands, what you point at, and to whom you signal for support and an amen. All of those things are the result of practice and refinement, and they are an art unto themselves. You can't learn them by reading a book and putting the book down, or having read it on your smartphone or tablet, and then saying to yourself, yes, indeed, I am ready. I know how to win friends and influence people. And then I see, as I scroll further down, I'm still on the front page of the results from Amazon.com. Talk Like TED, the 9 public speaking secrets of the world's top minds. So what do these books, by way of random sampling, have in common? They all have lists, they all have numbers, and those numbers all differ. So they all can't be right. Is 9 the magic number, or is it 7? Or is it 18? Or is it 100? Because we've gone from 100 essential beliefs, characteristics, and habits of elite entrepreneurs to 18 productivity tips that boost your workday performance to the 7 habits of highly effective people to ways to think fast and slow, and then finally, Talking Like TED, the 9 public speaking secrets of the world's top minds. What you should understand is that these books all cannot be right. Their numbers do not jibe with one another. And their numbers, with the exception of the one focused on 100 lessons, these all consist of 10 or less points or secrets, because the object is to sell books. And one way you can sell books is to reveal in 10 steps or less the secrets, the rites of passage, and the means to success. In the real world, however, those books are not as accurate as maps. They do not serve the same purpose, even if the authors want them or intend them to do so. They are not maps. They will not take you from point A to point B. They may contain some information which is universal to all human beings with regard to behavior. Because we are inherently irrational, we are impulsive, we are emotional, and we also are sinful. And I don't mean that in a biblical way. I mean that in the sense that short-sightedness and the pursuit of shortcuts comes at the expense of discipline, resolution, and the ability to succeed. My advice to you is not to read those books, but to read the books, the novels, the biographies, the collected nonfiction of excellent authors who tell a story with power and conviction, with poetry and prose. And in turn, you can become an excellent communicator, which means you will be an excellent leader. Will this happen immediately? No. Will this happen within a week or a month? No. Will this happen within half a year? Not necessarily. Within a year? Perhaps. Over the course of many years? Absolutely. This is a discipline. The question you must ask yourself is not whether you should read these books. By and large, you shouldn't. The question is, will you invest the time and effort to succeed based on following the rules that will enable you to be a success? Ponder that, and then we'll speak some more. Thanks so much. I'm Lewis Fine.